I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios, Ed Morse is going to save you. Visit edmoresawgrass.com. This is South Florida High School Sports.com radio on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and streaming at WQAM.com.
And that is us back on hour number two. Glad that you could join us on this Friday evening. Beautiful Friday evening. I think it's kind of stopped raining in a lot of parts of the area. It's going to get a little bit cooler this evening and tomorrow morning, and which is good this time of year. If you missed our first hour, which included Eric Henry from FIU, Jason Beatty talking UCF football, also Josh Newberg talking FSU football, and Rob Cassidy talking a little bit of everything, including Miami football. You can get us, we'll have it all up on our podcast at WQAM.com. Go to the top, and you'll see us, our little icon. We're there every week. And certainly if you miss anything that we put up during the course of a week on our website, SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com, or go to WQAM.com again and go to SFHSSports.com and you'll see everything. Today we had kind of an interesting look at the recruiting aspect. While a lot of people have been happy over the last couple of weeks, signing at different schools. There are a lot of guys and a lot of kids that don't have anywhere to go. And that's been a problem because a lot of these young men were promised if they get the grades and if they get, you know, do well on the football field and they attend to different things, these scholarships would be a formality, which is not really true. So that is something that you could read. Also, we have our weekly features. Put up 10 blogs a week. Nowhere else can you get year-round information like that. So that is interesting as well. This hour, as we said, Jake Elman will join us about 7:45 or so, talking FAU football. Jackie Franchulli from the Gators territory will talk to us around 7:30, and we'll talk a bit of University of Florida. Will Turner from USF will talk to us in just a few minutes or a couple of minutes. We'll be hearing from head coach Butch Davis from FIU. We'll talk about, as we did in the first hour with Eric Henry, talk about FIU's recruiting. So obviously we're excited about, talking football and all types, especially on National Signing Day and what has transpired. So exciting to have an opportunity on a Friday night to talk football around the state. As I said, we've kind of run the gamut in every school, and one of the programs that certainly in South Florida that has gotten a lot of attention over the last couple of years, continues to do an excellent job making moves. Being in bowls now every year is kind of routine for head coach Butch Davis and FIU. And Coach Davis is kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time on what has been a busy week.
Well, thank you, Larry. It's always good to be with you. And, yeah, I mean, in some respects, it's a little tiny bit of anticlimactic in previous recruiting years when, you know, the first Wednesday in February was always a gigantic deal. Now with the December signing day. But it's equally as important, Larry. I mean, this past, we had 6 scholarships left over from December, and we knew some of those kids, that they were definitely going to be coming to FIU, but they wanted to kind of fly under the radar. They had some family obligations, that they had some people that they wanted to be there to be a part of the signing day. So we kind of kept, some things quiet, and then we went out and found some other guys. So, recruiting, as it's the lifeblood of every program. And, you know, every year when you get a chance to sign 20, 22, 23 guys to kind of keep, you know, feeding the program, you know, it's very important. And, you know, we're excited about the guys that we signed, and we think that they're going to make a big impact into the program. And for the first time, you know, Larry, this is the biggest mid-year group of guys. We had six of the signees come for the second semester. So they got enrolled back in January, and we're happy to have them there because they'll get a chance to participate and take part in spring practice and the off-season program. So things are moving forward, and we're excited about it.
You know, Coach, what you were just mentioning that's so essential. I mean, and I've seen kids that go in January, and by the time you see them in April or May, they're different. I mean, we're talking they have one full semester of classes under their belt in a mainstream where the campus is not, you know, half full. It's all full because this is the time of year you have a full student body in there. Right. They get an opportunity to get into a college weight room, which is unbelievable. And then they start having an opportunity to meet with the coaches and watch film and do a lot of different things. So by the time May comes around, I mean, these are young men. And then when you take a look at it, by the time next August comes around, they're already sophomores. I mean, that's got to be, for you, who's been around this game all your life, this has got to be, what a shot in the arm it is to have, with six kids in.
You know what, Larry, and one of the things, obviously, if you go back to the days, you know, when kids actually came into the programs and they redshirted, you know, most of the freshmen, you know, probably in the late 70s and the 80s and maybe the early 90s, you know, they came in, they redshirted, and they had the opportunity to get their feet, you know, on the ground academically. And, you know, before they actually had to be a significant contributor or even an opportunity to play. And, you know, by the time they played in the second year as a redshirt freshman, you know, they had 24 to 30 hours towards graduation. Well, now the mid-year graduates are somewhat a little bit like that, and I love it. You know, like you just said, they get a chance to go through an 8-10-week off-season conditioning program. You know, they're going to get 12 to 15 hours this spring. Then they're going to probably get another 8 to 12 hours in two summer sessions. So before they ever even have to put themselves in a situation, you know, they're going to have in excess of 20 hours of academics towards their degree program. And so I love the springtime part of it for kids like that because they don't have the stress of like, well, you know what, this Saturday we got to play a game. And so they really, truly get acclimated into academics. They get acclimated into the team. You know, they meet. They get a chance to watch a lot of film cut-ups from last year. The way our assistant coach is, Larry, we spend a lot of time of trying to identify somebody that's specifically athletically very similar to them that plays in the NFL. I've done it, you know, my entire coaching career, all the way back to being an assistant at Miami, and then even with the Dallas Cowboys and the Cleveland Browns, you take guys and say, you know, take a look at some of these guys that are playing, and so your assistant coaches get to use that as a chance to really try to, you know, show them how to play. And so we're excited about it. You know, March 16th, I think, is our first day of spring practice. So, you know, those kids are going to get a chance to basically about 2.5 months to get acclimated into the program. And it's really kind of, you know, an exciting time for those kids as well as us.
Yeah, no doubt. Coach Butch Davis joining us, FIU football. And, Coach, another one of the areas when I came to see you in the off season as well as during the season, you had talked about depth and up front, especially on the offensive line. And that's where you attacked. You attacked it extremely well. I mean, you had at the beginning, you had Jose Mirabal from over a year ago. This is a guy that stayed with you. I mean, he was kind of a kid that wanted to stay home, wanted to be, you know, close to home. And then when you went and added Jamari Sylvester from St. Thomas Aquinas, you went out to Texas to get Cameron Williams, who I thought was a really good get, and also Miles Frazier from Milford Academy. So you kind of took care of what you needed to as far as adding depth. Not to say that these kids are going to get in the mix right away, but at least they're there just in case you have injury.
No kidding. I mean, Larry, I mean, that was a major, major part of our recruiting class for this year. We signed five offensive linemen, two of them are junior college transfers, and then three high school players. And even the high school players, as you talked about, Miles Frazier and Jose Mirabal, those guys getting a chance to come in and go through the spring practice, that's really going to help our football team. We were a little bit blessed in the first 2 years, in 2017 and 18, that we were able to play 8 and 9 offensive linemen. Well, this past year, we lost that depth, and that was one of the things that we really felt like that kind of somewhat put us in some situations during the course of the season where we didn't have the depth in the offensive line that we had had in previous years. And so, you know, we really went after those kids and, you know, and very happy to have them as part of the program. And the four of them, you know, they're going to get a chance, as you know, offensive line guys. I mean, it takes a while for them to develop.
Sure.
And so having two junior college players and two freshmen that are coming in, you know, they'll get a chance to go through the entire off season and spring program, and it'll put them closer to being able to make a significant contribution to the team this fall.
And you also added the depth in the linebacker position. You got a kid who I really loved, and the kid AJ Mathis, who kind of was hurt a lot of his junior year, but he came back and this year at Largo, and then the other kid Chance Coleman from the Tampa area. So I know your son did extremely well in that area. I mean, that was his area, and he came away with those two, and then also Hayden Carlson, who had a chance to watch, a good looking quarterback who hasn't had a lot of experience, but he's got a promising future.
Yeah, and another running back, Eric Wilson from over there. So, you know, it was, you know, you talked about Hayden Carlson. I mean, here's a young man. I mean, he had a great season for his senior year. You know, his father played in the National Football League for the Denver Broncos. So he's been involved and been around football for a long time. He's very athletic. He's got a great arm, and you know, they were off to a great season at one time. You know, they were in the, like, number two team in the nation or in the state.
Right.
And, you know, and so he's really a good player. But all of those kids, I mean, the two linebackers that you talked about, Chance and AJ, those are kids that, I mean, they can fly. And that's kind of what we've really tried to do, you know, Larry, over the last couple of years, is improve the team overall speed at all positions, not just at the skill positions, at the receivers. We needed faster, quicker guys at the linebacker position. And those two kids, they've got great instincts. They understand how to, you know, play in space, which, you know, with the way that offenses are anymore in college football, where they're in 10 personnel, 11 personnel, a lot of multiple wide receivers, if you're a linebacker, not only do you need to be able to stop the run, you got to play in coverage, and you got to be able to run with guys, whether they're tight ends or running backs and slot receivers, and we're very, very happy with these two guys.
Yep, no doubt. And two guys that, before I let you go, that I love a lot. They have passion. They're kids that are difference makers. One of them is Bobby Washington from St. Thomas Aquinas. This kid may not be the biggest, but I'll tell you what, he's an awfully tough kid. And then Keyshawn Owens from Central, who obviously you're following that Central train quite a bit with the running backs, but not a bad way to go. Not a bad way to go. Talk about those guys.
Yeah, you know what, Keyshawn is a young man that obviously they had multiple running backs there, but when you took a look at him and you said, you know what, how many things could this young man help our football team? Not only is a running back, as a receiver out of the backfield, as a slot, he's got some of the skills that Maurice Alexander gave to us.
Yep.
He could be a potential kick returner. You know, so this is a guy, you know, we looked at him, and this is a little bit of an exaggeration, but Tyreek Hill, the impacts that he made for the Kansas City Chiefs, these are things that he could do because he's got electric speed. You put him out there, and whether it's jet sweeps or you put him in a slot situation and try to create situations where it's a mismatch, can a safety cover him? Can a linebacker cover him?
Yep.
Probably not. And, you know, so we're very happy about that. You talked about Bobby Washington, and one of the things, you know, obviously St. Thomas is a great program. They play at the highest level across the country. But one of the things when you look at defensive linemen, how disruptive are they with the way in which they play? Can they wreck blocking schemes? Can they penetrate? Can they make potential negative losses And you know, and that's kind of what Bobby is notorious for. He's not the biggest player out there, but he is explosive and he's big and he's quick. And you know, he's going to give some offensive line guys some problems in trying to block them.
I agree, Coach. Again, thanks so much for taking the time. We'll catch up with you right after spring. We'll get your assessment and appreciate it. I know it's been even though it's a shorter version of it, but it's still a lot of work for you guys. And congratulations on a tremendous class.
Larry, thank you very much, and appreciate it. Look forward to visiting with you after spring practice.
Good stuff. Thank you so much. Coach Butch Davis joined us. We'll take this time out. When we come back, we'll talk USF football. We'll talk with Will Turner, and we'll talk University of Florida. So Gators, don't go away. Jackie Franchulli will join us. Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports Friday evening. Larry Bluestein, Dan Day, up until 8 o'clock. Thanks so much to FIU head coach Butch Davis for joining us in our last segment. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute, now at the Lennar Foundation Medical Center in Coral Gables. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. We have taken our trip to Miami and up to Tallahassee so far, as well as Orlando. Now we take a trip over to Tampa, where Will Turner is ready and waiting to talk about the University of South Florida. New head coach, new coaching staff, and certainly kind of a short recruiting period. But if you look at what the Bulls have done, I think they pulled off some pretty decent surprises, especially with a coaching staff that has been there, done that. A lot of different types of coaches, but you can almost guarantee over the next year or so, when they all come together and all the talent that they brought in and the coaching staff will come together. Will, thanks so much for taking the time. I know you're at a women's softball game this evening, but nevertheless, a lot of hard work was put in this January for recruiting and football.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for bringing me on, first of all. Yeah, it's been a great day of softball here in Tampa, finishing up a game right now. But yeah, what they did within this January period, they kind of kept together the core of the early signing period, especially on the back end with the secondary and picking up a guy like Ben Knox from DeLand, Matt Harris, a safety out of the Villages, AJ Hamilton, a cornerback from Dunellen. And then, Christopher Townsend from Deerfield Beach, a cornerback. Right. Keeping that back end together was very, very important. And they frankly found some guys that really just didn't have anywhere else to go. And a great example of that is Katravis Marsh from Miami Central, pro style quarterback, a 6A state championship winning quarterback. And he was a guy that was a Utah commit and didn't really have a whole lot on the table after he decommitted from Utah. And USF swoops in and grabs him to bring another quarterback into the class. So I think they did a great job, especially on the back end, bringing in guys that didn't really have a whole lot else on the table and kind of swooping in and getting some diamonds in the rough, if you will.
You know, Will, I talking to Josh Newberg earlier, he brought up that exact point where maybe the Power 5 schools were hurt more by, you know, having this, to kind of use January and try to rush around, where schools like USF and maybe FAU and, schools like that were maybe helped out a little bit more. You mentioned Katravis Marsh from Central being one of them who was highly thought of at the beginning, you know, by Utah. But also you look at Christopher Townsend, who was a really big cog for Deerfield Beach. Talk about that, because I think that's important to understand that maybe, the Power 5 schools were hurt, when you come in and have to put a staff together and start recruiting, in maybe less than a month, whereas USF, even though this coaching staff was pretty much intact, the head coach was still coaching an important game with Clemson, but at the same time kept in contact, as we talked to Joey Knight a little bit, and he said that he kept in contact with everybody and kept his, some ties that he had when he was a coach at Clemson to bring in some of these athletes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the biggest things for USF was that a lot of the positional coaches had targets at their other schools. For example, a great example is Alan Mogridge from FIU, the offensive line coach over there. He comes up to USF, was looking at Chamberlain offensive guard Cesar Reyes, They keep that relationship together. Caesar ends up signing with USF on Wednesday. So I think a lot of these, the position coaches had targets at other schools that they were able to bring to USF. Joey King was one of them, who was a coach over at Coastal Carolina, comes in and picks off a tight end from Tennessee. I think they did a great job with keeping in contact with people like that, as you mentioned. But something to note, Jeff Scott really never had to do that at Clemson. He never had to recruit half of a class in a month because, as you and I both know, half of their 2021 class is already committed.
Yeah.
And those guys are guys they bring in because they're done with the cycle.
Yeah.
And they're done with the recruiting process.
No doubt.
I think they did a pretty solid job in grabbing guys and grabbing guys that you might not expect. I mean, Tramell Logan, a Booker T. Washington defensive end, another state championship winning player, committed to Middle Tennessee State, and they flip him. They also flipped a wide receiver from Charleston, South Carolina, that was committed to App State, Sincere Brown. So they did a good job of maintaining relationships with certain recruits, you know, guys that weren't just already committed, but guys that were committed even to other schools. Yeah. Keeping those relationships was really key.
No doubt. Will Turner joining us talking USF football. And another thing, too, is, you know, you look at Charlie Weiss, somebody like that who has had some experience in recruiting and working with a lot of kids. And from what you've seen and gotten to know some of the staff, this is a good group. I mean, this is a really good group of coaches, a lot of football savvy. And I think that's what Coach Scott was after. He wanted people that he could relate to, people that had the, you know, were like-minded, people who were going to work overtime for him. Talk about that, because I think that's essential too, especially because you're in an area where everybody's been waiting, no matter who it's been, for USF to capture that area, you know, to capture from Tampa all the way down, you know, through Fort Myers, and start, you know, getting some of these kids to stay home and being close to home. I think this staff has an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Cesar Reyes is going to play a big part in that. Chamberlain is right in the heart of Hillsborough County, half a mile away from Busch Gardens. It's a really 20-minute drive from USF in the heart of Hillsborough County. And I think that relationship with a guy like Jason Lane, their head coach over there, a relationship with the guys over at Gaither who just made a 6A state semifinal, the relationships with guys at Steinbrenner, Newsom, Plant City, all of these different area coaches, these relationships are going to be really good. I think a guy like you mentioned, Charlie Weiss Jr., what sets him apart to me is that he's super young.
Yes.
I mean, he hasn't even hit 30 yet. He's the offensive coordinator for an AAC school.
Yes.
And I think with that, I think he's able to relate to kids a lot better. I mean, he's already played Madden with both of the USF quarterback commits or signees now. I think, you know, the youth across the board with a lot of that staff, is under 40. And I think that's very important in an age where social media and where younger people are using social media, and that's the way they connect. And I think that's really important for the coaching staff to, you know, not only have those in-person face-to-face meetings, but there's going to be a lot of social media interactions between coaches and recruits, and I think getting a younger staff is really important. Jeff Scott isn't even at 40 yet.
No, I know.
So bringing in this bringing down the average age of the coaches is really important. But I think the quality of coaches, especially grabbing Charlie Weiss Jr. and Glenn Spencer from FIU, was really good. Mogridge at FIU, another great grab from there. Pat White is a name that a lot of people remember.
Yes.
And bringing him in is going to help out a lot. Xavier Dye and Daquan Bowers, both Clemson people, so they can help in the South Carolina area with recruiting. So I think bringing in a lot of different people from a lot of different places, but keeping the average age under 40 was really important.
Good stuff. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks so much out of your busy schedule. I know, who's winning over there? Is USF winning?
No, Fresno State's up 3-1, top six.
Let me tell you something. You're talking West Coast softball is pretty good, you know, that UCLA stuff and all that. But
Yeah,
good stuff. Well, thanks so much for taking the time. I appreciate it. We'll catch up with you again.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Good stuff. Will Turner, who covers USF, and certainly, you know, it's not easy. I mean, you know, you remember when some of these programs get new coaching staffs, and we talked to Josh Newberg about it. We'll talk in a few minutes with Jake Ellman, who's you know, covers FAU. It's never an easy thing, although FAU, I think, has been a different situation. But one program does not have to worry about that, and they are entrenched in the recruiting, and certainly the Florida Gators, one of the top teams in the country now. Dan Mullen has done an awesome job, and Jackie Franchulli, who joins us throughout the course of the year, is kind enough to join us during this busy week. Jackie, thanks so much for taking the time, and pretty decent haul that the Gators got this year. I know they came short on Alvante Williams, but you got to give the Hurricanes at least something.
Yeah, no, this is definitely a really solid class overall. I know a lot of Gator fans are hurting about that because 24 hours leading up to National Signing Day, I think everyone imagined Williams was going to sign with Florida. And if I someone told me that there was even a blue and orange cake at Avante Williams's announcement, so a lot of people thought he was going to be a Gator. But kudos to Miami. They used that personal relationship that they were able to build with Williams throughout his recruitment and beat the Gators at the end of the day.
Yeah, no doubt. But they did come away with some really stellar football players. We know that Derek Wingo is going to be a guy, and we've talked about him in the past out of St. Thomas Aquinas. That is a big-time marquee kid, an outside linebacker who was an All-American, somebody that, you know, he was originally committed to Penn State, but once he backed off of Penn State and then made his play towards Florida, he never backed off. He was probably as good a bigger recruiter for the Gators as a lot of the coaches were. Talk about him, because that's a guy, along with Gerald Mincy and perhaps maybe even Richard Leonard, that could come in and see some quality time within the first year.
Oh, for sure. Derek Wingo is one of the names that I'm sure everybody will be watching once, you know, he arrives in Gainesville. I think, you know, what he brings is such versatility on the defensive side. He's such an athlete. So I think, yes, you know, primarily I would see him at linebacker right now, but because of the way Todd Grantham uses his defense, maybe he can fit into that buck position.
Yeah.
We've seen what they've done with Mahmoud Diabate this year. They really were able to develop him slowly but surely, and then suddenly against, I believe it was Vanderbilt, he had that big game where he took advantage of every single snap he took, ended up having a couple sacks in that game. And I think Derek Wingo is coming in not as much of a raw talent than Mahmoud Diabate was coming in. So I could definitely see him there, especially with all the guys that are losing on the defensive side of the ball. You know, they're missing David Reese next year in the linebacker position. They're missing, obviously, Jonathan Grenard. And although there's going to be a lot of talent coming back, you know, Zach Carter is probably a guy that, you know, is going to take over that buck position. And you've got James Houston, another South Florida native. He's probably going to take starting lineup,
yeah,
plus with Ventrell Miller. But I would imagine a guy like Derek Wingo is going to be right there, because they love rotating guys on that defense to make people fresh. And that's where Derek Wingo is going to come in. And he's such a very smart player. If he picks up the playbook pretty quickly, he's already an athlete. He already has those intangibles that they need on defense. He's also a guy that could become an alpha leader. He was an alpha leader during his high school. So yep, once he gains some confidence, he could be that alpha dog that Jonathan Greenard was, because don't forget, Grenard and Reese were your alpha dogs at the defense, and they're gone. So they're going to look for that alpha dog coming, yep, up in the next year or two.
No doubt. Jackie Franchulli joining us, Gators territory. Another position that Florida was really after, and they really, I think they showed a lot of focus towards from the beginning, was on the offensive line. And they came away with some really good ones. Joshua Braun, who comes from Suwanee High School nearby, big kid. I think he's like 6'7", which is not too bad. And they got the kid Gerald Mincy from Cardinal Gibbons down in South Florida, and then I mentioned Richard Leonard as well. They really, and I know that listening to some of the and they also got Isaiah Walker from Miami New Orleans, but listening right to some of the early talk, you know, from you know, so from some of the coaches, that was a must. They wanted to kind of stockpile those offensive linemen. They had a couple of injuries during the course of the year. It took a little bit of a toll on the depth. Talk about that, because I think that was extremely important for them to kind of stockpile those offensive linemen.
No, there's no doubt about it. I think it was both lines of scrimmages. Basically, when Dan Mullen and his staff kind of came on board and were, you know, just started at Florida, the one thing they noticed is that the previous staff didn't really do a good job of creating some class balances. So there was holes within their classes, and they needed to really start creating a balance. That's why this class in particular, they really, really, really focused on the O-line and really, really focused on the D-line. Because sure. If you notice how this class was built, that's what their main focus was. And now when they're looking forward, you know, last year, they pretty much had to build an O-line from scratch. They never want to do that again.
Yeah.
So that's what they're trying to prepare for. And I want to see how Josh Braun kind of develops here in the next few weeks. He's one of the linemen that I'm really curious to see, because I think he's one of the freshmen that could push for a starting job. I think or at least push to be that number six guy off the bench. I think he's very talented. He's very big. When you look at their starting five right now, the starting guys right now, I think the issue is that you got Brett Heggie, who moved to center since, you know, Dick Buchanan is left. That's the only veteran that's gone. Brett Heggie is the only one that has played center and has experience there. So you're going to see a couple of shuffling going around. Obviously, everyone knows that right tackle was a position where they didn't really have a foothold in it. You know, John DeLance struggled for a lot of the season. So I could see them maybe moving it around so Richard Garage is on the left side and Forsythe is on the right side, and maybe Josh Braun can kind of go in there at guard because he wanted more of an athletic guy, and I think he could be that key to the guard if he develops quick enough and kind of gets the playbook a little bit better. So I think that's the guy out of this class that I'm really excited about.
And that 6'7", 325 pounds, he'll eat up a lot of spaces, and I'm sure that's going to help as well. And you had talked about the defensive side. I'm excited to see the Gervon Dexter kid from Lake Wales come in, because he's a guy that was really coveted, you know, as far as a defensive tackle. Also, you know, Johnny Brown, the kid from Sebring that a lot of people were on in the middle of the season. A lot of people were looking at him as one of those guys. And then they also have used their ties to, you know, outside the area. And then they went and got Jalen Lee, who I think is going to be a big-time kid out of Louisiana. And then they also, the kid Lamar Goods, who's from, from Connecticut. So, yeah, you're right. They did extremely well on the line. They needed some defensive end and the rush help as well. But I think that with somebody like a Derek Wingo, who is already, you know, who's worked under somebody like Jason Taylor, and Jason Taylor's taught him so much about pass rush techniques. And I think he's another guy that could, you know, like you said, once he gets in there, he becomes the alpha dog, and he wants to be on that field. It's going to be awfully tough to keep people like that off the field as well. Talk about that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's what the staff has done a good job with since they've got to Florida. I will say, you know, they kind of pick on some of the guys that have worked hard enough, or they realize, well, why am I putting my best player on the bench? Let me find a role for him. Kyle Pitts is an excellent example. In his freshman season, they had the tight end room was loaded. They had Siante Lewis, Marlon Stevens. They had a lot of seniors on that group. So what they did, they moved him to wide receiver because he's a mismatch nightmare. Why isn't he playing? And the same thing they did with Mahmoud Diabate. They tried to put him in. He's like, why am I not playing him? Chris Boggle played a lot of games this year because they're like, this is a playmaker. We need to get him into games so that by the time that he's, you know, going to start, he's getting some game action. And that's why I would think Derek Wingo is going to get on the field sooner rather than later. And even Gervon Dexter, I could see come in a little bit earlier than some of the other guys, because I think Florida is trying to really put these guys out there so they can get that experience. And Mullen and his staff have done a good job about using those four games that they're allowed before redshirting.
Yep.
They've really tried to put the players out there as much. We've seen it with Jacob Copeland. We saw it with Emory Jones. So that's something that I have no doubt that some of these players that are coming in are going to play. And they also, what they've done is make sure to show these players like, hey, you might not be starting right now, but this is our plan. Look at this guy. Look at Mahmoud Diabate last year. He played special teams for most of the season, but look what he did towards the end of the season.
Given a
look
chance.
How much hype he's getting.
You're right.
Exactly. So that's what they've done. And that's something that You know, a lot of people don't realize it takes time to get that trust and patience on the recruiting front because kids see these roller coaster seasons. Florida was on a roller coaster last 3 years with Muschamp and McElwain. One season was great. One season was down. What Mullen and his staff have now done with two back-to-back New York Six wins is showing that there is more consistency now. There's a pattern. So this is how they're going to win the recruiting trail down and now for 2021, 2022, is show that consistency and show the track, say, look where he is right now, and look what this player is doing now in his second year. Look what this player's done second year. Look what their third year. And that's how they're going to continue to build their recruiting battles and winning them. Like they just beat Clemson for Xavier Henderson. You know, so that's the sort of thing that's going to really help them down the line.
Good stuff. Jackie, again, thanks so much. I know it's been a busy week. We'll catch up with you again towards spring, see how things are progressing. Again, thanks so much for taking the time. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff. Jackie Franciulli from Gators Territory. When we come back, we wrap things up for a fast-moving Friday evening. Jake Elman will talk FAU when we come back. Back to wrap things up with you for a South Florida High School sports show for a beautiful Friday evening. Larry Bluestein, Dan Day, and what a show it's been. The Centene South Florida High School sports show is cared for by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. Thanks so much to Jackie Franciulli talking Gator football with us. We've been around the entire state. Now we go up a little bit north of Broward County into Palm Beach and talk a little FAU, where Jake Elman is waiting for us and ready to go. Jake, thanks so much for taking the time during this extremely busy week after Super Bowl.
Happy Friday, Blue. How are you?
I'm here. And, you know, I'll tell you what. I think Josh Newberg probably said it the best, that while the Power 5 schools may have struggled with new coaches, the smaller schools, being FAU, may have benefited because a lot of the kids may have, you know, even with new coaching staffs, a lot of the kids, especially with FAU, with Willie Taggart kind of calling on some old people that he knew, some other guys that he was recruiting, some guys that may have played for him in the past. FAU did a pretty darn good job.
I'll tell you what, Blue, I really like how this class came out. You have some players who can fill some gaps in the short term, especially DeMarcus Adams and Malcolm Lamar, both of whom played for Taggart at Florida State. Taggart said Wednesday he believes that they're going to apply for waivers, and he's optimistic the NCAA will grant those waivers. So DeMarcus Adams could give the Owls a boost at receiver, Lamar at defensive tackle. And, you know, there's some younger guys that might not play this year, might not even play in 2021, but they get here, they take a year or two to develop, and they're at positions where FAU needs to add younger depth. The defensive line, the offensive line, Miami S and Trevor Reeves headlined some guys in the secondary.
Yeah. You know what, too? We talked about Sebastian Dolcine, who came in, who's another guy with some veteran experience. Eli Fields is another guy who had some experience as well. So you're right. I mean, they're going to use the veteran kids first and then look for the younger guys. And you brought in you brought up a really good name in Trevor Reeves, who I thought was really under the radar. I thought a lot of people passed him by. But I really think when you take a look at one of the guys who really maybe got under everybody's radar was the kid Chris Jones. I just thought that kid was a Power 5 guy from the beginning, and you know, he stays close to home and gives his class a true freshman kid that maybe, in the short term, could be something very special.
100%. I think that was one of my biggest takeaways with this class. And when Lane Kiffin was here, you did get some of those kids. But you also had some star power. DeAndre Johnson and Tim Bonner from Last Chance U. DeAndre McNeil, who was from Texas. Cameron Wynn, who was a great high school football player in Tennessee. Well, I mean, you got those guys, but this year they went away from some of those high-profile JUCO guys or those high-profile transfers. I would say the biggest names were probably Dolcine in terms of recognition. Dolcine, because he was at Kentucky, T.J. Chase from Clemson, and Aaron Young at Duke. Three very talented players, nothing against them, plus the two FSU guys. But guys, the most important guys in this class could be some of those guys, like you said, Trevor Reeves, Chris Jones, Dakarius Hawthorne, guys who went a little bit under the radar.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe they do have that Power 5 talent, but listen, FAU got him. Willie Taggart brought in some of his former FSU coaches. They already had those relationships, and they said, hey, come to FAU. Beautiful new facility, two Conference USA championships in 3 years. We lost a lot of veteran starters, especially on defense. You could come in and really make an impact.
You and I also talked about Andre Yamas from Miami Columbus as being a guy who, you know, got there early enough where he could do something. As you know, I mean, here's a guy that's going to come in, and I think he's got a lot of experience under his belt. He was a kid that was heavily recruited early on. Him being another guy, you're looking at all these kids, and when you look down the roster, and I had a chance to do it, Lane Kiffin did a darn good job. I mean, you know, he really went after, as you mentioned, some really good football players, and that's why they came away with a huge conference title this year.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the biggest knock on Lane Kiffin's recruiting is he brought in a lot of guys who maybe haven't developed or have been buried when maybe they were recruited with the idea that, hey, you can come in and provide an immediate impact, or, hey, we need you contributing by year two. I think of a guy like Jordan Morrell from St. Thomas Aquinas, who's had opportunities, maybe hasn't taken full advantage of them. But then I think about guys like Federico Morangas, Miami Columbus guy. He was on the second team offensive line as a freshman. And with Junior Diaz, another Miami guy graduating, I think Federico Morangas should be the front runner to start center. So that's what Taggart needs to do this year, especially when practice starts in a few weeks. Take some of those guys that Kiffin recruited, because almost all the Charlie Partridges are gone. Take those guys that haven't played a ton, develop them, and see what you got. Because with the transfer portal, recruiting doesn't stop after National Signing Day. If FAU comes out of spring camp and they say, hey, we have John Rainer and Ramon Smith at tight end, but we need one more body, then they'll go out and add another body.
Yeah. Yeah, and you take a look at also, Willie getting his son to come down here, and certainly a very athletic kid who's not going to be rushed. He's not going to be pushed into the opportunity, but he's going to be given an opportunity, to develop, and that's a positive as well.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. Willie Taggart Sr. was saying this is the first time he's really going to have a chance to coach his son, and FAU, they haven't had a ton of success the past few years with high school quarterbacks. You think about Jaquez Johnson, he was a transfer. Chris Robinson was a transfer. Daniel Parr was good, but he transferred out. Jason Driscoll, even though he led FAU to a conference title, he really didn't come on until the final four or five games of his senior year. So FAU hasn't really had a consistent borderline elite high school player become a consistent player at FAU since Rusty Smith.
Yeah,
and we won't see Willie Jr. most likely for a couple years. Chris Robinson has 2 years left, and Vic Trani, same thing. Although Robinson, if he has a great year, maybe he tests the NFL waters. But hey, you have Taggart Jr. You have Javion Posey, who signed last year. He may stay at receiver. Maybe Taggart moves him back to quarterback. So there's two guys right there that when Chris Robinson and Vic Trani eventually leave, they're the heir apparent.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I appreciate it. I know you worked very hard after the Super Bowl, and certainly this week was capped off. You know, we'll keep in touch. We'll get you on throughout the offseason, seeing a lot of progress and seeing what goes on. Again, Jake, thanks so much.
Always, Blue. Talk soon.
Good stuff. That wraps up a great show. I'll tell you what, Dan Day, you couldn't have stepped in a better 2 hours. I'll tell you what, from 6 to 8, thanks so much for what you did. Great time. We'll talk about LSU down the road, but thanks, man.
I had so much fun. Let's do it again next Friday.
We will be back next Friday. Thanks so much. Thanks to everybody that took part. We will be back next Friday. Don't forget, go to WQAM.com and catch up what you missed. Dan, thanks so much. Everybody else, thanks so much for listening. We took you around the state in 2 hours.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.